This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thomas Merton's last talk was in 1968 while he was in Asia, in Bangkok, Thailand. Thomas Merton was a Catholic priest, a writer, a monk, a spiritual leader, a leader in the efforts of interreligious dialogue, and one for whom many saw as a mystic, someone who was in touch with the deeper truths of God. And in his last talk before he died, in 1968, he was speaking to a conference of monks and nuns, and they're all together in this room in Bangkok, Thailand, and he begins his talk by saying that all the mystical traditions of the world's great religions, like the Christian mystic, the Kabbalah of Judaism, the deep teaching of yoga, the sutras of the Buddha, the Sikh's tradition, the Sufi, the Muslim, all the mystical traditions, they all teach us the same basic thing. That there is something about our daily human consciousness that is impaired. His words, "The root of human problems is that our human consciousness is all fouled up and does not apprehend reality as it fully and really is. At the moment a person looks at something, they begin to interpret it in ways that are prejudiced and predetermined to fit a certain wrong picture of the world in which they exist as an individual ego in the center of things. This is called by Buddhism avidya, or in English, ignorance." Ignorance. Jesus speaks in the gospel this morning about sending a spirit, an advocate, to be with us. To be with us who love God and who love Jesus and whom Jesus loves. But it will be a spirit and a presence that the world will be ignorant to see. The world cannot see it. And the world cannot see it because the world's consciousness, that is our basic human consciousness, is impaired, is blind, is all fouled up. In the Gospels, following the passage that we read, Judas, not Iscariot, also known as St. Jude, asked Jesus, "How is this possible?" And Jesus says, "Well, those who love me will see me. Those who love me." And so this is an invitation into the spiritual life, which is a life of loving and following Jesus and keeping his word. Those who love and follow me and keep my word, these things will lead them to an inhabitation, a dwelling of this spirit. The spirit will be in you. It will live in you. It will abide with you. And in that spirit of truth, our eyes will be open to what is the truth. Not seeing the world with the ignorant eyes of our basic human consciousness, but seeing a deeper truth, a spiritual truth. And through the seeing of that truth, we will shine all the brighter by being released from the things that hold us back and hinder us. And of course, it won't be us who are shining, but God, Jesus, who shines in us. As Jesus says, I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is heady conversation. In theological speak, I would say that today I'm not talking necessarily about salvation, but sanctification now. Not salvation, what happens after our death, but sanctification, what we can experience in this life. Not salvation, which is a truth and a story that is bigger than us, that's God's action. It's the infinite generosity of God that flows out from God to be the source and the ground of our very life and being. A generosity that we see in the sun moving across the sky, in the rain falling to water the earth. The sacredness in the midst of everything. That's salvation. Sanctification comes when our story connects with that story. Our story connecting with the story of what God is up to in our attempt, out of love, to align ourselves with God's work in the world. Sanctification is about how we live, about what we do. And in the following of this spiritual path, this loving and following Jesus, it leads us into a fuller and a deeper life. That's why we are here. It's good living. But it's not necessarily easy living. Just after Thomas Merton gave that talk, he was electrocuted and killed. Just getting out of the shower. Sometimes in life we know difficult things happen to decent people, people who do good in the world, suffer because of no real doing of their own, but only by accident. Sometimes it's kids suffering because of their parents failing. Sometimes it's us suffering because of our own or those who are around us. Peter writes on this. This is what Peter is trying to talk about in his letter that we've been reading. He tries to encourage those who would seek to live a sanctified life to think about what that means and to think about what it means in relationship to the suffering that we experience. He writes, "In your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. And always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you." Make ready your defense to anyone who demands it. Know why you hope. Know why. Well, here's my defense of the hope that is in me. Early on in my life, on account of many things and events, I learned that the primary authority figures in my life, my father and my mother, were fallible and broken people. I primarily learned this through the fights that they had with one another and their eventual divorce and the fights that kept going on with me and my sister at the middle of them. I learned that we are fallible, broken people, all of us, with failed and broken relationships. My parents were imperfect, and yet I also came to a realization years later, actually in a high school youth group, where I realized that yes, they are imperfect, but they're also perfect for me. I said that, And I didn't quite know necessarily what I meant by perfect at that time, but what I meant, I think, was that they were worthy of my love. Unreserved. That they were worthy of my hope and my blessing, and that there was hope for them and for me. This is the spirit of truth, that there is always hope. I voiced this hope in a place where I connected my life to the stories and the lives of those that are told about in the books of Scripture. Like the story about original sin out in the garden, where the serpent says to Eve in that original story that if you eat this forbidden fruit, the one from the one tree that God told you not to eat from, you can do, well, whatever you want. If you eat from this one fruit, you might just be like God, the serpent says. But the serpent is a liar. For the truth at the heart of this story is that Adam and Eve, they were already like God. God already made them in their image and likeness of God. They just try to be like God without God. They try to be like God on their own, and so they break away from that oneness with God. That independent generosity of God that is the source of their very being. But in the acting out of that own independent understanding and that trying to reach out and be apart from God, apart from the one who made them, inevitably they wounded themselves and everyone around them. And ultimately we do the same. When we act out our woundedness, we do traumatizing things to ourselves and to each other and to the earth. And so we try to heal that, but oftentimes we try to come to the healing of that on our own terms. But in our Christian story, again, connected to that story of Scripture, it says that while we're in that fallen state, while we're in that wayward journey away from God, while we are yet in sin, God sees to it that Jesus is born. And in that birth of Jesus, we see God's response to our very brokenness, to our imperfectness. What God does is that God becomes identified with us as precious in that imperfect brokenness. And that's where the great healing comes. And a deep acceptance of our own brokenness and the brokenness of others. And in the love and the acceptance of brokenness, this becomes the opening to which the infinite mercy of God flows forth. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Judge not, and you shall not be judged." So this is grace. This is that experience of salvation, of healing, of that acceptance by God of us even as we are broken, and that love of us even as broken as we are, that love of me as broken as I am. That's salvation. That's God's doing. That's something that is worth celebrating. But today I'm talking about sanctification. The next step. That letting that spirit of love and truth live in me and through me so that I might also love those who are broken and those whose brokenness has traumatized me, including my imperfect father, including my imperfect mother. I love them. They are perfect for me. Because the truth is that they are perfectly deserving of love, as is every creature of God's creation. And not only are they deserving of love, they're deserving of my love. The Spirit of truth proclaims this hope, this love of all things, that no matter how imperfect they are, they can yet find perfection in the love of God. The Spirit of Truth sees the ending at the far end of our story. And seeing that ending tells us, oh, it's a happy one. J.R.R. Tolkien says this about happy endings. Happy endings do not deny the existence of discatastrophe, of sorrow and failure. The possibility of these is necessary to the joy of deliverance. Happy endings deny, in the face of much evidence, if you will, universal final defeat. And so give a fleeting glimpse of joy, joy beyond the walls of this world. And they are evangelism. They are sharing the good news, happy endings, and trust in them. Trust that our lives, no matter how broken or hurting they might be, might yet see some healing, might yet come to a place of love, might yet come to a place of acceptance and redemption. But these share the truth, which is the ultimate truth, which comes from the Spirit of Truth, which is that defeat is ultimately defeated, that sin is ultimately redeemed, that hope is ultimately sure and stable, that love is eternal, and that life is never ending. So, dear people, let that Spirit of Truth live in you. Always be ready to make your defense of the hope that it proclaims, and let that hope flourish in your life. Amen.